what's being called a huge mistake here in Iraq, as Iraqi pilots mistakenly dropped supplies instead of bombs on ISIS. Now, these members of ISIS unexpectedly received a surprise when these inexperienced Iraqi military pilots did an airdrop of food and water and ammunition in the wrong spot. Now, the U.S. is supposed to be in here helping to coordinate all of this. How this happened is, I mean, they're wanting to blame it on pilot errors, but I mean, this is a big strategic operation on knowing where to go. I mean, I just don't see how they get that wrong. Anyway, they did, mistake or not, ISIS has received a fresh stash of supplies.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Benjamin Disraeli said that power has but one duty, to secure the social welfare of the people. And so it follows that any society in which the poorest of the sick and feeble are allowed to die because of unequal access to health care is inferior. And I'm leery of any democracy in which the Congress is so dishonest as to promise whatever it takes to get elected, but then become rapidly disconnected with the things that keep their voters alive. Like they thrive off of donations from health management organizations taking gifts and vacations that obligate them to do what's not within the best interest of their constituents. And how is it that the masses of people in the richest country in the world are not afforded even the basic level of insurance, when the proper protocol should be Medicare for all, but instead we get caught up in jargon like public options and single payer? If you're broke and sick in America, then you ain't got a prayer. If you can't afford to write a blank check, then all American doctors have for you is a blank stare at your aches and your coughs. And big insurance companies can't do anything that Medicare doesn't do, but they do it for six times the administrator of cost. Even though Congress forces Medicare to purchase prescriptions at a loss, and nobody's surprised that health care reform has transformed into a bill that says publicly traded insurance companies get to be taxpayer subsidized and still allowed to raise their premium sky high, which is corporate socialism. And the saddest thing about the teabag is that they're in the habit of advocating for the people who are most against them, as long as they're against the president. Like, his election was the denial of their suffrage, and they're standing behind Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, and Rush Limbaugh, and a bunch of other rich people who could care less about the lack of working-class Medicare coverage. Even if it's against their own family, as long as it's anti-Obama, then it's pro-something they could live with. And the only reason we don't have Medicare for the millions is there are too many powerful people in this country earning billions off of exacerbating American sickness.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Recently, we sent our intrepid reporter, Jason Jones, out to the field to explore the phenomena of a certain Washington, D.C. Football team's controversial name. We learned later... but some of the individuals who participated in the piece, they didn't enjoy the experience. It's something that happens a lot less than you would think. But we take the complaints seriously. We generally don't want people who participate in the show to have a bad experience. We work very hard to find real people who have real beliefs and want to express those beliefs on television. And we work hard to make sure that the gist of those beliefs are represented accurately, albeit sometimes comedically, on our program. If we find out that someone in a piece was intentionally misled, or if their comments were intentionally misrepresented, we do not air that piece. We would not air that piece. So that being said, I hope you enjoy the following piece.
Football is back, and once again, the Washington Redskins are getting their ass kicked. But this time, instead of cowboys and patriots, it's by liberal activists.
A move is underway to change the name. Critics say it's offensive to Native Americans.
But according to Chief Daniel Snyder of Redskin Nation, the only crime his people have committed is being misunderstood.
The name of our team is the name of our team, and it represents honor, it represents pride, it represents respect.
Well, that doesn't sound that bad. So why was this group of Native American activists so upset?
It's a name that impairs, disables, disenfranchises our population.
The most popular mascots in the country are Indians and animals.
Right, because we all love animals and we all love Indians.
We're not mascots.
It's a dictionary-defined racial slur.
Yeah, but that's according to what?
The dictionary.
Okay, but plenty of words in the dictionary have multiple meanings. It just turns out this one doesn't. Help me out, white man.
Taken out of context, you can take things out of context all over the place. But in this particular case, it is what it is. It's very obvious that the name really means honor.
Honoring what?
Your strong, proud, courageous, brave heritage.
Redskin is a bounty.
It meant proof of Indian kill.
Well, when you put it like that, it sounds terrible. Put it in context. On Sundays.
And Saturdays. And Friday nights.
And Monday.
And living in D.C. every day.
And Thursday nights.
Do you know what it's like to be a native in this town?
I don't. Terrible.
To walk down the street every single day and be surrounded by that imagery and being told to get over it?
No, because you don't have to do that. Just because I'm uncomfortable doesn't mean you have to make fun of my uncomfortableness. You don't see me doing that to people.
Sure, these Native American activists make a compelling case. That is until you hear what's at stake for the true victims, the fans.
If the Redskins' name is changed and I have children one day, what will I pass on to them?
It'd be tough. It'd be like losing a family member.
And they've already lost so much. 58 starting quarterbacks, 28 head coaches, 12 uniforms with 10 logos, playing in 5 stadiums in 2 cities, and they even changed their name once before. So forgive them for clinging to what few traditions remain.
Now I have an older computer. I've pulled it up on Netscape. But it seems like you didn't say the word scalp'em. You didn't say
it. Also says wampum, too.
Oh, so the song changed.
Obviously, that was changed for sensitivity reasons.
And the team's sensitivity has paid off. I mean, right here on the homepage of the website Daniel Snyder paid for, it says that in 2004, a poll found that 90% of Native Americans did not find the name offensive.
Oh, the Annenberg Report. Well, the funny thing about the Annenberg Report is that it was conducted in Pennsylvania by self-identifying indigenous people, which means it could have been anybody off the street that says, oh yeah, my great-great-great-grandmother was a Cherokee princess.
Come on, who would do that?
My great-great-grandfather's full-blood Cherokee. Show of hands, who has Cherokee or any Native American? Brian, what do you got in here?
Cherokee, but I have no idea how much or little.
Right.
I'm actually 112.
112 Cherokee.
As 112 Cherokee, I am not offended.
Which meant that there was only one question for the other 11/12.
Aren't you being a little sensitive?
After every single thing that American Indian people have been through, how can you possibly say that we are thin-skinned and oversensitive? We have to say things like cultural sensitivity, because as soon as we say racism or racist,
no one said racist.
The whole argument
exactly.
Shuts
no
down.
One said racism.
The term is racist.
No, stop. Okay, I'm shutting this conversation down.
Okay, so Redskin. All right, the Washington team name was starting to feel a little insensitive. What was I missing?
What I would say is, come to a football game, meet some fans, come see what our context is about. And I think, you know, there's no way you would leave that offended.
So I went to a game, and you know what? It was true. I was immediately welcomed into this rich culture, and I'm not sure what it was, but the more time I spent with these people, the more I began to feel warm and happy and numb, and they were right. That logo is cool. But then I met with tribal elders.
This is our culture. This is who we are.
Would you call a Native American a Redskin?
Do you know any Native Americans?
Yeah, about 8 of them.
Am I not a Native American? Was I not born in this country? I don't want to authorize that.
That's right. This was a culture so proud, they didn't even want their faces on TV, even after they had signed our release forms.
I went to a game. Let me ask you, if you brought a Native American, wouldn't they be a little upset?
I think sometimes the conversation that's happening right now is that we need to be sitting down talking to the people that actually are offended.
And a little later, we did just that. But it turns out these fans weren't comfortable having that conversation. In fact, afterward, they relayed to the Washington Post that they felt ambushed, in danger, and defamed. And yes, the conversation was heated at times, but there was also handshakes, and even the ceremonial handkerchief. In the end, they said they still would have gone on the show had they known there would be a debate, but at least one of them wouldn't have worn his Redskins jacket. Which forces the question,
if they changed the team name, would you still root for them?
Absolutely.
Unequivocally.
I wouldn't hide my Redskins memorabilia. It'd still be on the walls, and the belt would still be on the shoulder. But they'll always be Redskins to me.
There we go. Problem solved. Hey, he who stands on the wrong side of history, change the f***ing name.
To the world is Yiddish, meaning white people. Because I really think that white people are from like another planet. Because we, like, when we came to America, it was so nice. It was just Indians, and they weren't even Indians. We called them that by accident, and we still call them that. Like, we knew in a month that it wasn't Indians, but we just don't give a shit. We never correct it. We came here, they're like, hi, and we're like, hey, you're Indians, right? And they're like, no. No, this is India, right? No, it's not, it's totally other place. You're not Indians? No. Ah, you're Indians. You're Indians for hundreds of years after. We ruined everything here. This was the great, it was just coast to coast, just green and brown and beautiful. And all the humans were just walking around with painted faces, just walking. And they'd be like, ooh, that looks yummy. And then they just eat from the ground. And then they'd sleep on the grass. And they'd wake up and they'd wake up. And then they'd go for a swim and do a little dance. That was the whole continent, was just folks doing that. I mean, there was people in Mexico cutting off kids' heads and rolling them down the pyramid stairs. But that's, I mean, that's always going on. What are you gonna, you know, you can't do a whole lot about that. But I think we came from another planet, and the reason is because we don't like it here. I mean, why, if we're from here, if we belong on Earth, why aren't we comfortable on Earth at all? We need nice smooth surfaces and right angles, and we need it to be cool and not too hot, just a little, that's just perfect. Like, why wouldn't, when it's hot, why wouldn't we just, yeah, it? Why wouldn't we be like that if we belong here?
Took a violent fall when I tried to crawl up the asylum wall. Watsky, Civic, Carlo Rossi, all the foxy letters, I got drunk, dial them all. Because I could be at 17 places at once, well 17 me's pop 170 blunts. And while I'm cheaping in D.C. with Eric Holder, I'm sharing marijuana with the mayor of Boulder, Colorado, but the air is colder. When I'm in the South Pole where the bears are polar, I crap on the critics who deny my place, to wipe my ass at the fabric of time and space.
No flex zone, no flex zone, they know.
The city it be full of crap. Plastic, pretty women, hear my knuckles crack.
crack. Out on Hollywood Boulevard, popping those silicone humps like it was a roll of bubble wrap. I keep my fingernails sharp in my mind too. If a dog's gonna bark, then I'll find you. But if you're scratching on the bark at the wrong tree and I reach you, then I'll eat you. I'm hungry, cause I don't care if you're a sex machine. Little man, move along to the next machine. I can slide up in the west and I bless the scene. The queen, here to flex on the next regime. My team is impeccable, wrecking every consecutive sucker that wanna step up and knock us up on the pedestal. You're pitiful, looking just like the next goon. Put them all on the rocket to Neptune. No flex zone.
Tender bash and you get whiplash like a 10-car crash with Kim Kardashian's ass. Get a flash at the passenger side of the Jaguar's dash.
I come through late like Dre with detox. If these elite jocks, I'll say we're Ewoks.
Chumps with we cops, pull up your knee socks, then pump your Reeboks and jump the treetops.
Skin tone fair, syndrome rare. The peasant is unpleasant, but the king don't care. Let them all call, let my ringtone blare while the beat bump bump like an ingrown hair. Bump bump like an ingrown, bump like an ingrown, bump 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 like an ingrown hair. Cut through the jungle in the middle of nowhere. I'm steady with my machete, I'm ready to go there.
I'll be rubbing my nipples, giving the public a sample of my ridiculous sample. Jiggly bubbly personality, hit them with that fatality. Look at he split.
A lot of petty people, they don't get the simple
hit. They don't mean diddly squat, do they not riddle me that?
We be the pit bulls, nibble on these kittens and cats.
Eat them like kibbles and bits, leaving them stiff on their back. Give them a wag of the finger, never a tip of the cap.
We be the pick of the litter, keeping them mentally locked.
I got a lot of opinions, more than a centipede socks.
And I open up the door when my enemy knocks.
They're gonna be checking me, then they're gonna be in the penalty box.
Looking a bit like a hockey player with a mist of enamel.
And I be clicking the button for the Discovery Channel
until I'm kicking the bucket, so kiss my butt, I'm an animal.
And I get more hump than a couple of camels.
It's the nude photo scandal that's rocked Washington and could topple a political career. I sat down with Congressman Bart Hanford, and for the first time, he opened up about what led him to make such a costly mistake. Congressman Hanford, you're married, two beautiful children, and yet you texted nude photographs to a 23-year-old staffer. Why did you do it?
I wanted her to see my penis.
But help me understand, what was going through your head as you were pressing send on those explicit photos?
I was hoping the penis photo would arouse her sexually, that she might think, that's a nice penis. I will respond with an offer to have sex with the penis, or maybe send a photo of my breasts. I would like that. And that's what I was hoping would happen.
Here's what intrigues so many people. Why would a promising, successful politician take such a big risk?
I knew I could let down my family, destroy my marriage, and damage the country that I love, but on the other hand, if there's even the small chance of getting off at any time, you gotta take it.
So it was a moment of weakness, then?
Oh, no. I felt very strong and virile, like a young, strong, attractive man. It was one of my strongest moments.
I have to ask about your wife. She is reportedly devastated by this scandal.
Mm-hmm.
How could you put her through this?
Well, I've had sex with my wife many times before, so I wanted to have sex with someone younger who I've never had sex with.
And how is your marriage now?
Well, we're pretending to stay together and seek counseling because of how it looks, but we're going to get divorced. Probably 99%. We're never having sex again.
The big question. Do you plan to resign?
No. I'm very good at my job. I'm going to keep doing that. Plus, it's a lot harder to get women to have sex with you when you're not a congressman.
Yeah!
And finally, new rule, I want to believe Representative Vance McAllister, the congressman who was caught on tape last year passionately kissing a staffer, when he says he's a new man and, quote, blessed with a great family and a wonderful Christian wife. But first he has to take his hand off her ass. You know, we don't ask a lot here in America of our representatives, but last month, Politico ran a story on the midterms entitled Good Election Year for the Bad Boys of Congress, which detailed how even scandal-plagued lowlifes are nonetheless cruising to re-election. I mean, look at this. His tongue is forming an exploratory committee. That's not kissing, that's fracking. And this guy ran on being a family values Christian. No wonder that when this story broke, he quit. Who could recover from hypocrisy that blatant? But now he's back in because he remembered something. Oh, yeah, I live in America. No one's paying attention. Same thing with the Appalachian Trail's most famous hiker, former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, another born-again booty caller. Who left office in disgrace, but who's back because he realized that in Kardashian America, name recognition is all that matters. Michael Grimm. Michael Grimm leads in the polls in his Staten Island district, despite being under indictment for 20 counts of fraud. That's a lot of fraud, even for Staten Island. And then there's my favorite, Tennessee's Scott DeJarlais. A pro-life champion who encouraged his ex-wife to have two abortions and talked one of his mistresses into having another. One more, he gets a free latte. This guy walks into Planned Parenthood, everyone goes, Norm! And he's a doctor who's also had affairs with at least two of his patients. Somewhere Anthony Weiner is thinking, but texting a picture of my dick was too much. Usually when a doctor sells his patients that much, it's over the bill. And still he's looking forward to a third term, which is more than I could say for the fetuses he conceives.
Oh, you'll get all over it.
If he wasn't actually up for the third term, I wouldn't do the joke, but it was too perfect. My question is, who do you have to blow to get thrown out of Congress? As a political science experiment, I would like to see a member of Congress kill someone on live TV just to see if they'd get voted out for. Really, let's have a congressman commit cold-blooded murder on camera, then get up and say, yes, I've made mistakes. I killed a drifter just to arouse myself sexually, but this election isn't about killing drifters. It's about working families. With my wife Jenny on one side and Jesus on the other, and he'd win. We need a new definition of insanity, and it's having a Congress with an 8% approval rating and re-electing just about all of them.
Drone. This is what Ebola looks like. The virus, first recognized in 1976. Although it likely sat hidden in the jungle, infecting animals long before that. The first outbreaks were on the banks of the Ebola River in Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of Congo, and also in Sudan. Hundreds died. The death rate, up to 90%. The next wave of outbreaks were not until the 1990s, in Gabon and Ivory Coast. Richard Preston's bestseller, The Hot Zone, laid it out in great detail. Just how scary Ebola can be. Victims who are bleeding, a source that is mysterious. And then, Hollywood joined in.
Your town is being quarantined.
The movie Outbreak was inspired by Ebola. The virus spreads to California. A whole town is quarantined to save a nation.
The most optimistic projection for the spread of the virus is this. 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours.
The scary? Yes. Accurate depiction? Not exactly, says this CDC disease detective.
It's really only in the African setting, in these resource-poor rural areas of Africa, where there's very little water or soap or hygiene practices, and in the clinics and hospitals often there's a lack of gloves and gowns and masks. It's only in that setting that you really see efficient transmission of this virus.
I'm going to go to Sanjay Gupta right now. He's getting ready. We're standing by for that CDC, Centers for Disease Control, news conference on the first case of Ebola diagnosed in the United States. Sanjay, you're there. You're on the scene for us. So tell our viewers what we're about to hear.
Well, we're getting some more information about what likely happened here. This was a patient, this was a person who was in Liberia. We do know that. So this is someone who traveled from West Africa back to the United States. We know that what we're hearing from a CDC source is the person was not sick on the plane and did not have any symptoms or cause for concern at that time. Upon arriving to the United States, they started to get sick and they were concerned they have Ebola. Why exactly they were concerned, if they were a healthcare worker, if they came in contact with people with Ebola in Liberia, and we're going to get those details here shortly, but nevertheless, the person was concerned enough, they went to the hospital, was placed in isolation, which again is pretty standard. That's the standard protocol now that we've been hearing about so much in the United States. And his blood was drawn and the sent over to the CDC, and we know that those results came back positive.
Begin this hour with breaking news. As one man fights for his life, health workers ratchet up the number of people he potentially exposed to Ebola. The old number quadrupled just minutes ago to 80 people. CNN senior medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen is outside the Dallas hospital with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Carol. Carol, we are told, yesterday we were told they were following 12 to 18 contacts, and now we're told that they're following around 80 contacts of the man who is in the hospital right here, who has been diagnosed with Ebola. What we're told is that many of these contacts are contacts of contacts. In other words, the patient had contacts around him, Mr. Duncan, and that those contacts then had their contacts, and that they're all being monitored. They're taking their temperature. They're watching for signs of Ebola.
This is not West Africa. This is a very sophisticated city, a very sophisticated hospital, and the dynamics are so significantly different than they are in East Africa, or excuse me, in West Africa, that the chances of it being spread are very, very, very small.
I can see inside you. The sickness is rising. Don't try to deny what you feel.
Will you give it to me?
It seems that all that was good has died and is decaying in me.
Will you give it to me?
It seems you're having some trouble
in dealing with these changes, living with these changes.
Ow! Now the world is a scary place, now that you've woken up the demon
in me.
In the meantime, the White House is using social media to spread the facts about Ebola. Officials have been tweeting and posting on Instagram this message, and we can throw it up on screen. It says, you can't get Ebola through air, you can't get Ebola through water, you can't get Ebola through food in the U.S., adding later that the virus can only be spread through contact with the blood or body fluids of people or animals sick with Ebola. But Aaron, despite these efforts to get the word out, make no mistake, this is something that the White House is watching very, very closely tonight.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it open to me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You must not get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You've got to get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is stuck, yeah, that has been given to me.
Keep in mind that this is something that is spread through bodily fluids. Once somebody starts to get sick, it means the virus is being excreted in their bodily fluids. Shake hands with somebody. We all have breaks in our skin. Even if you don't, you look at your hands, you think, I don't have any breaks in my skin. We all have minor breaks in our skin. And there is a possibility, it's not a large possibility, but it's a possibility that some of the virus can be transmitted that way. So any contact this person had over those 4 days between when they became ill and before they were in isolation, they need to be found. They need to be put in isolation. They need to be monitored for 3 weeks.
Oh, ah! Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and then they open the mate. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You must not get up, come on, get down with the sickness.
Good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
Good evening, Brian.
Tonight, the eyes of the nation are on Texas and Dallas with the news that the first Ebola patient diagnosed here in the United States is here. Attorney General Abbott, if you were governor today, please outline the immediate steps that you would take to protect the people of Texas.
As governor, I would do what I did earlier today. And that is to speak with the Commissioner of Health and Human Services here in the state of Texas. Do that first to find out what our game plan is and where we are going. I learned that the Texas hospital plan is one of the few locations in the country that is prepared to deal with Ebola. And the commissioner here in the state of Texas is working with the CDC to ensure that this situation is properly addressed.
Ebola, Ebola, it's a
Don't touch your friend.
No touching. No eating something dangerous. Ebola. Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing. No eating something
dangerous.
Ebola. Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No touching. No eating something
dangerous.
Ebola.
God, come on.
Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing.
Got a man, baby.
No eating something.
I wake up in the morning. I started yelling, people, them yelling.
Now what you
happy? My picking what you
happy?
I say what you happy?
Hey man,
they say that rabbit hole. Places something in the
frisky.
They think that in town they quit your game.
Got a miscarry.
E-B-O-L-A.
Ebola.
Ebola. Ebola in town.
Hey.
I started yelling. I yelling. I started running.
I'm running.
I will play. I will go. Hey. I go to Guinea. I win everywhere. Ebola, Ebola, I'm not going anywhere.
I'm right here.
I'm not going nowhere. Oh,
I'm right here.
I know the medicine. Yeah. That distance, okay.
Distance,
I said distance, shaking.
Distance, shaking.
Distance, kissing. Yeah. Don't touch me. Yeah.
Ebola, Ebola,
don't touch your friend.
No touching. No eating something
dangerous.
Ebola. Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing. No eating something.
It's dangerous.
Ebola. Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No touching. No eating something.
It's dangerous.
Ebola. Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing. No eating something.
Are you ready?
I feel something in town. Something in town. Ebola. Ebola in town. Ebola, eh? Ebola, oh, it's dangerous. Oh. Ebola is very wicked. It can kill you quick, quick. Be careful how you shake your hands, oh. Be careful who you touch, eh? Ebola is more than HIV, eh? It can kill you quick, quick. It can kill you fast, fast. Ebola, don't touch your friend. Ebola. Don't touch your friend, Ebola. I say, we'll kill you, oh. Be careful, hey.
Be
Ebola, Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No touching. No eating something.
It's dangerous.
Ebola, Ebola is down.
Don't touch your friend.
No kissing. No eating something.
It's dangerous.
Since February 2014, an outbreak of Ebola spread across West Africa, from Guinea to Sierra Leone, and now it's finally reaching the coast of Liberia and its capital, Monrovia. Confirmed by health officials, the deadly virus has already killed 7 people in Monrovia. Scientists speculate that a possible cause of the Ebola outbreak might stem from the prevalent consumption of bushmeat from animals like monkeys and fruit bats. The scientific concerns surrounding the consumption of bushmeat begin in our genes. Because we share 99% of our DNA with monkeys, the chances of an infectious and incurable disease like Ebola crossing over from a monkey to a human is exponentially higher than with any other animal.
Ebola is one of those words that you can say it anywhere in the world, and it invokes fear.
Dr. Joseph Fair is a renowned virologist who we met working out of a lab near Liberia's capital city of Monrovia.
Take me through sort of the life cycle of the Ebola virus if someone catches it, if a person catches it.
So Ebola is what we know as a viral hemorrhagic syndrome. And so a syndrome is just like AIDS. Ebola is an aggressive hemorrhagic fever syndrome. Ebola in particular causes the walls of the capillaries to slightly separate and blood starts leaking. You'll get conjunctival injection, which is bleeding into the eye. That petechial hemorrhage and that leakage ultimately leads to shock and death, just like you would have with sepsis.
So you're bleeding out from the inside?
Basically, you're bleeding out from the inside. Your blood pressure is lowering to an amount. So you, when your capillaries are leaking, the blood is no longer being transferred through your body effectively. It is a very painful and agonizing death that no one would want to go through.
Despite the fact that I was now worried about bleeding from my eyes, we headed to a local lab where they were quarantining and testing for Ebola. The lab is an abandoned ape testing facility. Nobody was there save a few scientists with hazmat suits working on the outbreak. Behind those doors was Ebola culture, which was being used to compare to cases of reported Ebola throughout the country to see if it matched up.
Can I touch this? Is it safe?
Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
No, don't touch it.
Jesus, how about these masks? They wear these masks?
So right in here is where the Ebola testing is actually happening. These are the suits that they wear in here. And I'll respect what he says when he says not to touch them because these have already been used. Somehow I feel like this sheet is not protecting me from Ebola.
There is a set of personal protective equipment that we wear.
When you go inside,
we wear this.
Okay. Are you scared when you go inside?
Scared?
Yes.
Scared of
what? No. Scared of Ebola.
That's true, but...
I'm standing out here and I'm scared. Great. I'm glad my job's out here and your job's in there. It's
okay. I can dress you and go in there.
No, thank you. It's okay.
Dr. Sarr is in charge of all infectious disease testing in Liberia. He's kind of a first line of defense against mysterious disease coming out of Africa. But like many Liberians, Dr. Sarr was skeptical about the presence of Ebola.
The truth is that we haven't had any except for one case, of course one case constitutes an outbreak, in the Ivory Coast, somewhere in the 70s, I think, and that is all.
Since
then in Liberia, no, not anywhere else except now.
Culturally, humans have evolved with non-human primates all throughout Africa and Asia. And I think something that we don't usually think of in the West is how that they evolved here. They're kept as pets. They're also used as a major food source, aka bushmeat. Now, a monkey is only one part of what you would consider bushmeat. A piece of bushmeat would be any animal coming from the forest. Again, most people don't kind of recognize the need for bushmeat. So when you imagine living in the deep forest of Central Africa and or Asia, it's very difficult to raise domestic animals, yet human beings by their nature need protein sources. So bushmeat in many parts of the world still is a necessary part of the diet. There are certain types of bushmeat which we know are more dangerous than others. And those particularly are birds, non-human primates, including the chimpanzees, gorillas, monkeys. Bats, we're learning, are of great concern.
But despite the danger, how does one of Liberia's top scientists feel about bushmeat?
I will be very dishonest if I tell you no, I eat bushmeat. The antelopes, they kill them, they dry them, and the meat comes to market. That's what I like most, yeah. But I don't like monkey meat.
It turns out the very facility we were standing at has a rich history of pandemic disease. A chimpanzee testing facility in the 80s and 90s, it was here that a doctor named Preston Marks discovered HIV-2 in a local pet monkey in a nearby village. While HIV-1, the most common strain of the disease, was discovered to have come from chimpanzees as early as 1959, it was unclear where HIV-2, the less common but still deadly HIV, originated from, until Dr. Marks tested a sooty manga bee while working at the Institute in Liberia in the late 80s.
And I took this picture on my second trip of this young girl in Lofa County, Zozo, Liberia, and it's worth 1,000 words. I mean, look at it. I mean, that sooty manga bee, which is the species, the only species in West Africa that harbors the ancestor to HIV-2. And look at it. It's like a, you know, it's just like a cat. It's like a house cat. It's her friend.
In an eerie parallel to Dr. Marks discovering HIV-2 in a pet monkey from Lofa, today's Ebola outbreak seems to have also originated from the same place. Lofa, a dense jungle province of Liberia that sits on the border of Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, is a trading center where hunters from the jungle bring bushmeat to trucks that then head into markets in all three neighboring countries. In an attempt to stop the virus, the governments have banned the bushmeat trade. But Liberians have been ignoring the threat and the ban. In order to find out why, we met up with a local journalist. But turns out he harbored a few Ebola conspiracy theories himself.
Here's your friend. I'm interested in this Ebola thing because the feeling in Monrovia and across the whole country is that Ebola never came to Liberia. We are at Waterside, this is the main market, and we are going to the market where they sell bushmeat and other food stuff.
Apparently the bushmeat shop is in the back. Holy fish. The smell is super putrid in here. So the Liberian government bans bushmeat. Totally, right? But you can still buy bushmeat.
You can still buy bushmeat because they are telling the Liberians not to eat it. And they're telling the marketeers not to sell it. But people are still selling it because they believe the government is pulling their legs.
All right, so why is the government of Liberia saying there's Ebola if there is an Ebola?
Apparently, it's a scam to get some money from the international communities, from the donors. It's mainly so because the government is broke. Everybody knows that. The government was able to say that there was $16 billion investment here. They have nothing to show for it. So a lot of people don't believe that Ebola is here.
Official government policy was to ban the sale of bushmeat. However, as we hit the market, we learned how effective that prohibition actually was.
Excuse me, madam. We want to buy some meat.
Hey, Nagby, what kind of meat is this?
These are deer meat. Has that meat caused you any problem?
Nothing.
So, what do you believe about Ebola?
Before we were born, our great grand were born.
You do not believe that Ebola is
here? No Ebola in meat. My children and myself were eating it. My husband eating it. My former, everybody eating meat.
I don't know everything that's going on right
okay,
now. There's a guy singing through a megaphone. She's screaming at me that there's no Ebola in meat. There's hundreds of like dead deer parts.
It's the same God yesterday, it's the same God today, and the same God forever. Somebody put your hands together, so thank you, Jesus.
Monkeys are both a delicacy and pets. In fact, they're so prevalent, it's hard to make the connection that these cute monkeys could harbor a super virus or create a pandemic.
I'm Emmanuel Nagwe, I'm a journalist.
We just saw this guy randomly on the side of the street. He's got a pet monkey that he got last night from Ivory Coast. His friend wanted to eat it, but he said, no, I'm keeping it as a pet.
This is his pet.
Yeah.
Nobody will eat it. Hey, you want to carry my monkey? Now for test. Carry me and my monkey. Go and test for my monkey. I got no sickness. I got no sickness. Ebola, you are carrying Ebola to America. You are carrying Ebola to anywhere. Anywhere the government say Ebola is. Let go there for Ebola, but Ebola is not here with me. I got Ebola here.
Nagby went to go get more bushmeat, while I looked into where I could go buy some monkey meat.
Hi, how are you? Can I buy some monkey, please? Thank you.
We came out to the back here, and this woman had like four or five monkeys for sale. So while the Liberian government theoretically has banned monkey meat, you can still get it. Look at this, just a wheelbarrow full of bushmeat right here.
You put in the water, it has soap.
Okay.
When it's soap, then the flesh can come up.
Do you worry about eating this?
No. It's sweet.
It's sweet?
Yeah. Very sweet. Good.
You like it?
Got sweet meat.
I like
it. Right now.
Right now, I eat like now. This. Bam. Very hungry, I eat like this. Thank you, friend.
Let's get it from here, baby. Leave it from me. Put it down here, baby. Put it down here, baby. You want to put it down here, bro?
Can we not splatter the monkey all over me, please? Oh my God, I'm getting pegged with Ebola monkey right now. I'm getting fragged with Ebola monkey.
Oh, is that what you did?
Do you guys ever worry about Ebola? Do you think that's real?
No.
Ebola is real. Since we got new ourselves.
Been eating this thing. No harm.
Not do a harm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Look, you cut yourself. You cut your hand. Look.
You are no problem.
It's okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nagby showed us what he had bought for that night's dinner.
Okay, what I got was some fresh meat. This is deer meat.
Oh, more deer meat.
Yeah, you see the from the feet. And this is bush rodent. We call it bush rat. These stuff are delicacy, my man. If you give somebody cow meat, they'll prefer this. If you give them fish, they'll prefer this. Seriously.
Is that a claw?
It's a claw, yeah.
Nagby invited us to his home to watch how his wife prepares the bushmeat for a meal.
This is the house. Here's my wife, Fatou. And she's coming to prepare the food.
What happened? Are you okay?
Yeah.
What happened with your finger?
Was shopping.
so I made a mistake.
You cut yourself?
Yeah.
By accident. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Were you cutting the meat?
Yeah.
Just like any other food, if it's cooked, there's not really a problem. It's through the preparation where you get that blood and body fluid transfer from the rodent to the humans. And we actually have found humans with the monkey forms of the viruses. And so those are people that we obviously monitor because those viruses might be the next HIV pandemic.
You saw what meat is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, meat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's that little rat armadillo thing?
Yeah, the groundhog.
What do you call it?
Bush hog. It's groundhog.
The groundhog.
The rodent.
Yeah, the rodent. One of the dangers, one of the things that the experts warn against is that one of the main sources of transmission is that if you're cutting the bushmeat, you're handling the bushmeat, and you get a cut, and then you interact with it, that's when disease transmission could occur. So Nagy's wife was preparing a meal for us, and that's exactly what happened. She cut herself while she was cutting the meat. So not an academic fear. Something that could really happen. Can we meet this guy's, the owner, neighbor?
Yeah, let me find out if he's there.
Okay, thank you.
His name is Jacqui. Jacqui, a nickname for monkey in Liberia. We call it Jacko. So I call it Jacqui.
How long have you had him?
That's about 3 years now.
Yeah, and he's your pet?
Yeah. They say we should not touch people. That means you can lace your partner. If that means you cannot eat certain kind of meat, it means that you have put a whole lot of people out of business, you see. And the people who even sell the meat within the market, they are there up to this time, and meat is still sold there.
What do you think about the idea of eating bushmeat? Do you think it's safe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eating bushmeat?
Yeah.
I don't have no problem eating bushmeat.
Oh, you eat bushmeat?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you eat monkey?
Yeah, I eat monkey and so forth like that. I eat other animals. But this is my pet.
Yeah, you won't eat this one.
No, this one I won't eat it.
And where did he come from?
This is coming from Lofa.
It's coming from Lofa?
Yeah, Lofa.
And isn't that where they had the Ebola outbreak?
Yeah, that's where the rumor's from.
Oh, okay. Oh, the rumor, I'm sorry. That's where the rumor's from.
Particularly with non-human primates, monkeys and chimpanzees, etc., keeping them as pets, and you imagine like you have a dog. Well, a dog bites you if you keep it as a pet. So does a chimp, so does a monkey.
The monkey jump so high. Amen. The monkey jump, it jumps so low. Sometimes I wonder how God ready made these things. The monkey jump so high. Thank you.
Ebola, don't touch a friend.
Currently, the most popular song in Liberia is called Ebola in Town by an artist named Shadow. The week we were in Liberia, we found out he was playing a concert downtown, so we went to go meet him.
Now the song is like 3 weeks old, and it's everywhere in every town, every village, every county, and everybody form, everybody radio is playing it, everybody, and everything is taking it. So it's like, it's the biggest song right now in the country, and it's the big thing.
Ebola, Ebola in town, don't touch a friend, no touch me.
Shadow's song going viral is an indicator that most Liberians aren't too concerned with Ebola, even as it continues to spread. But in a place where humans and monkeys are in such close proximity, a new virus could emerge that's even more lethal. Some human somewhere, likely here in Africa, is going to eat a monkey with a disease that's never been seen before. Super Ebola, a new strain of AIDS. And according to Joseph, that virus could kill a third of the planet's population. It's not the disease we know. It's the one we don't.
When we think about the worst case scenario, it is always a combination of what is the most transmissible combined with what is the most lethal. Nothing is localized anymore. International trade, transport of people and animals and crops and everything else that comes along with that. You know, what used to happen in one remote corner of Africa can easily spread to Europe or the United States.
The next global pandemic exists somewhere. The virus just has to jump that gap the way HIV did decades ago and Ebola did today. And when it does, the planet will be singing a whole different tune.
Hey, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Daylight come and me won't go home. Day, me say day, me say day, me say day. Oh, daylight come and me won't go home.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
And let it flow into me. Get out, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me.
Now, go find the others.com.
You know, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I'm really going to miss you guys when the show's over.